A martyr and a beacon of moral courage. That's how many people in El Salvador and beyond describe the figure of Archbishop Oscar Romero of San Salvador, who was shot dead 30 years ago today while celebrating Mass. Since his brutal murder on March the 24th, 1980, millions of Christians around the world of all denominations have come to recognize Romero as a modern-day martyr. The late Pope John Paul prayed at Romero's tomb, and Pope Benedict has said that it's his hope that the servant of God will soon be beatified. Romero's assassination came after he spoke out on numerous occasions against grave human rights violations committed during his nation's bloody civil war. Thousands of people were being seized and killed by death squads at that time, and in his Sunday homilies, Archbishop Romero documented the murders and disappearances of the previous week and condemned repression by El Salvador's ruling military junta. In February 1980, Archbishop Romero wrote to the U.S. administration asking it to reconsider its offer of aid to the junta. And on March the 23rd, he appealed to Salvadorian soldiers to stop killing their own people. One day later, he was shot dead, and nobody has ever been brought to justice for the crime. Father Michael Campbell Johnson is a Jesuit priest who spent over 10 years in El Salvador during the 1980s and met Romero, who was also a Jesuit, before his appointment as Archbishop. I began by asking Father Michael to assess the strength of Romero's legacy in El Salvador 30 years after his assassination.
Well, my reply to that question will be an unusual one. I think their devotion to the memory and presence of Archbishop Romero has grown in the past 30 years. It's now shared by almost everyone in El Salvador. One of the reasons is that he was such a simple and humble man, and he was not only in touch with the poor, but he learnt from them. A recent book that's been published precisely for the 30th anniversary makes a point that Romero's life was very similar to that of Jesus of Nazareth. They were both born in conditions of poverty in the province of a small and very insignificant country. They both lived a life of intimacy with God and prayed by night. They both learned the trade of a carpenter, and they both took sides with the poor, and so on and so on. And it ends by saying, they both confronted the imperialist powers of their day, and their public life lasted a mere 3 years. So I think that's one of the main reasons why there's so much devotion to him today. And finally, I would say that his message is still needed today. There are still many more poor people in El Salvador than there even were in probably his time. And his message of justice and against corruption is still needed today. And I think the people in El Salvador are very much aware of that.
Archbishop Romero was possessed of many gifts as a pastor, but according to Father Michael, it was his extraordinary courage that really stood out.
Well, I think it was his courage, and also the fact that he, I'm careful to use this word, underwent a conversion when he became Archbishop. As I'm sure you know, he wasn't the main choice of many people in El Salvador. Neither the nuncio nor the previous archbishop wanted him. They wanted somebody else, because Romero had the reputation of being very timid and also very passive and not very much concerned about the poor. But then, right at the beginning of his time as archbishop, he underwent a sort of conversion, though he himself didn't like that expression. He said, what really happened, I went back to my roots and found my roots again among the poor. The thing that really caused this was the assassination of Father Rutilio Grandi, a Jesuit who was working in a rural area. Romero knew him well, and he went down to El Paisnal, on the night of his assassination and spent the whole night there, kneeling in the church before his body and listening to the peasants, the campesinos, about their problems and trying to decide what he should do as archbishop. And that night, I think, had an enormous effect on his life, because he went back to town and he decided on a number of things. The two perhaps most important were not to have any relations with the president or the government until a proper investigation had been carried out into Rutilio Grandi's assassination. And the second one was he decided to suppress all masses in the capital the following Sunday and just have one mass in the cathedral, to which he invited everyone. The apostolic nuncio said to him, "You can't do that." He said, "I am archbishop, and this is what I'm going to do." So he was a very different man after that experience, and I think that affected the rest of his pastoral ministry, because he realized very clearly, ever more clearly, he had to speak out against the injustice, even if he would eventually suffer for it. And I think he knew perfectly well that he would suffer, and that eventually he would have to die for what he was doing.
So what then were his most famous remarks? Father Michael again.
Well, I suppose the best known is a reply he made to a Mexican journalist just 2 weeks before his assassination, because the Mexican journalist asked him if he was afraid of death. And he said, "Yes, I'm afraid of death, but I have trust in Jesus Christ. And if I die, I will come alive again in the hearts of the Salvadorans." And that, of course, is exactly what has happened. There's a biography of him which is called "The Word Remains." And that means his word, his sermon, remains today very important for El Salvador, because it was not his word, but the word of God.
The move to have Romero beatified is proving a long and complicated process. But Father Michael says that for many people in El Salvador, he is already a saint in their eyes.
Well, it is a long process, and I think the first thing one has to remember is the ordinary people have canonized him already. They're not waiting for the church, but they are anxious that the church pronounces and calls him a saint. Two of the people in El Salvador today who are pushing this very strongly is the new president of the republic, Mauricio Funes, and also the archbishop. And they have both appealed to the Vatican to move on with his cause, because all the initial work has already been done. All the documents are in the Vatican. He's already officially a venerable servant of the church, which means that the beatification process is sort of halfway.
Nobody has ever been brought to trial for Archbishop Romero's murder, even though a UN Truth Commission concluded that the former Death Squad leader Roberto d'Aubuisson had ordered his killing. But why is that? And is there a lot of anger in El Salvador about this failure to apprehend and punish the killers?
Yes, nobody has been brought to trial. This is mainly because the government has prevented this. Now, I think with the new government now and the new president of the republic, which represents the other side, if you like, what used to be the FMLN, the rebel side, this may now change, and there may be a proper inquiry into his death and a proper trial. But this may or may not happen. The people feel it should happen, so maybe something will happen now.
Father Michael met Romero whilst he was still a bishop and told me what his impressions of him were like in that period.
Well, I mentioned already the sort of conversion that he seems to have gone through when he first became archbishop, because before that he was a very quiet and rather timid man. And when I met him some years back before he became archbishop, he was then bishop in Santiago de Maria, I was with him in a meeting with a number of other bishops, and he hardly spoke. He hardly played any part in the meeting at all, and seemed very withdrawn into himself and very quiet. And this was the reputation he had, and it was precisely because of this that many people didn't really want him to become Archbishop in San Salvador. So he was timid and a very quiet man, and also had the reputation of being very conservative in his views. Well, when I speak about his conversion, this obviously changed.
He was very outspoken, condemning the death squads. He was outspoken in his criticism of the military and also trying to help deal with cases where people had disappeared. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's very true. And I'm at present engaged in preparing the official version of all his sermons in English. And he devoted at least a quarter or a third of his sermon every single week to reporting on the abuses that had taken place during the past week and the number of people who had disappeared. And he gave their names and said their families were looking for them. And he spoke out very, very strongly about this. And that, I think, is one of the main reasons why the government felt that he had to be silenced. You probably remember that the last Sunday sermon he preached, he made a direct appeal to the soldiers in the army, the ordinary soldiers and the ordinary policemen, not to go on killing their comrades, not to do anything against the will of God, and to disobey the orders of their superiors and officials if they were told to do something against God's will. Well, that is a very strong appeal, and I think his enemies could not tolerate that and felt he had to be silenced. The other thing which he did, which caused enormous trouble to him, he condemned the United States for sending so much money to El Salvador, where the government was spending it all on arms, on helicopter gunships that they were using against the poor, against their own citizens. And he called on President Carter to stop sending this money. Well, that created a sensation, not only in El Salvador, but around the world.
I was speaking to Jesuit Father Michael Campbell Johnson. Sarah Smith-Pierce is an expert on El Salvador at the Catholic Agency for Aid and Development, CAFORD, in London. She says Archbishop Romero is an outstanding example of Christian sacrifice, and that's why his legacy lives on so strongly, 30 years after his martyrdom.
For me, when I speak to people in El Salvador, Romero stands as a symbol of how to live a Christian life. And he stands as the symbol of bringing Christian values into action. There's something about what Archbishop Romero stood for and his courage to face the ultimate consequences. He knew that he was in grave danger, and yet he continued to speak out very courageously on behalf of people who were being killed or threatened. And it's something about the example of Christian sacrifice that Romero represents, which I think it touches a chord in people all over the world. His impact in El Salvador and across the world, in Christian communities across the world, is quite phenomenal.
That was Sarah Smith-Pierce of CAFORD.